You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. Let's get on into it. Hope you guys are having a great hump day so far. June 9th, yes it is. And I'll tell you what, it shows you that no matter how small a beginning you come from, John, you can make it to the top. Do you realize that Nikola Jokic, when he was drafted in 2014, you know what was going on? A Taco Bell commercial was running as he was being drafted.
Wow.
Right? Nobody gave a damn is the point. And all of these, that's factual, by the way. And all of these years later, 7 years later, as a matter of fact, he is the MVP. How about that?
How about that?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Lowest picked guy to win MVP. Yeah. We don't count Moses Malone because he wasn't initially drafted. So second rounder on top of things. We've known for a long time Jokic's going to get MVP. And I think rightfully so. But how about that?
That's an awesome anecdote.
It wasn't even on.
Awesome.
We were in commercial when the selection was made.
It makes me wonder what was airing when Tom Brady got drafted.
That's a good question.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, was it what was the ad?
It's a sixth or fourth. I always get it backwards.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
So I mean, it would have been like late.
I don't think any of us would have been watching at that point.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe a Sears commercial back in that day, 2000. But yes, welcome into
the Larry Brown Show.
We're your host, Jason John.
Bad Larry Brown. Baddest man in the whole damn town.
We are going to talk about Larry Brown absolutely nonstop.
Just
today.
Say his name for 3 hours.
So I hope you guys are ready for that. Now, listen, we got a big show planned for you today. We do have an update. Athletic director over there at the University of Memphis, Laird Veach, was on the Jeff Calkins show.
Okay.
Jeff Calkins bravely asked him about the Larry Brown situation.
Okay.
And we have a response. We can dissect that here momentarily. We got a big show planned for you today at 11:25. We are going to be joined by Dexton Debry. Dexton Debry, of course, is the documentary maker of Promised Land. Promised Land is about Ja Morant and his rise as a rookie in the NBA and chronicling sort of the journey there. And lots to get to with him. I mean, Ja Morant just put together one of the best playoff debuts we've ever seen.
Yeah,
I mean,
buddy.
It's just true. Averaging 30 points a game. He has arrived officially, I think we can say. And so we'll get into all of that with Dexton Debry. Also get his thoughts on Larry Brown in Memphis at 11:25. Then at 1:25, Mark Giannotto will join us. We'll talk to him, of course, also about Larry Brown, what that could mean for Memphis, and how it fits, and what he'd like to see.
He was on the golf course with Penny earlier this week.
Yes, he was.
All right.
Now, I believe that was before I put out Larry Brown's name.
Before LB.
Yes.
That was pre-LB reporting.
Yes, that's exactly
okay,
right.
So nothing matters.
But is there really ever a pre-LB reporting? It's
like BC.
It's infinite.
BLB.
You know, Larry Brown reporting never ends.
No.
It's a daily feature now. I just put the imaging together.
There's
for
no
it,
beginning so. And no end mm-hmm. to the Larry Brown reporting.
No.
It's kind of
you know
exciting.
The summer kind of daily hit.
Yeah. I'm excited by it.
Me too.
Others may not be.
Absolutely.
No.
So anyway, that is the show today. Looking forward to it as always. But we do have a non-Larry Brown story regarding Memphis basketball that we're going to get to here. There's a feature up at ESPN.com that we both found very interesting. But before we do that, we are contractually obligated under our new agreement with the ESPN affiliation that we have to give you a Larry Brown update.
Let's do that first.
Okay.
And so this was earlier today, about 30 minutes ago, Laird Veach was on with Jeff Calkins. And Jeff
Calkins,
I didn't
get to hear it, so good.
Jeff Calkins bravely asked him.
Do we get to hear Jeff ask him?
Hold on, I got to fast forward to the end of the interview real quick. Let me just fast forward to the end.
I'll say, candidly, Jeff and I talked about it, and I was like, I asked him before the show. I was like, are you going to ask him? Because I saw that they were having Laird on. I was like, are you going to ask him? Because like, you know, by and large, what Laird is going to say for a hire that's not official. But Jeff said, I don't know. We'll see. He did end up asking ultimately about Larry Brown, and this is how it went.
And then finally, John Martin is a troublemaker here on 92.9, and he's been saying that Larry Brown may be in consideration to be an assistant basketball coach at the University of Memphis. I'm sure you aren't prepared to announce one way or another. Would you have an issue, given his colorful background, with Larry Brown being on staff at the University of Memphis?
Well, Jeff, I appreciate that you have to ask, but
exactly
you also
right.
know that that I can't comment on personnel decisions. Although I will tell you that I'm excited for Penny. I'm excited for the opportunity for him to add and grow to the staff. I think it's a great chance for him, and it's also a great opportunity for somebody. And we'll continue to work with Penny and support him in the process. But there's a lot to be excited about with Memphis men's basketball. We're looking forward to a great year.
And women's basketball, for that matter.
I will also tell you that I really appreciate being at a place where an assistant coach hire is so important. I mean, it's really nice that people care enough here that is a wide topic of conversation. It's the first time I've been at a place where
we're assistant basketball coaches.
Quite that big a deal.
Gary Parrish made the point yesterday that John Shire at Duke is going to hire an assistant at some point and will not get as much attention. Like, it's really a remarkable thing. It's a remarkable program in place. Thank you, Laird. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeff. Yeah. Take care.
So what do you think about all of that? There's a lot to break down.
Well, he basically said it without saying it.
You think so? That's what you got from it. Is that what you got from it?
Man talked about personnel decisions and supporting Penny. Sounds to me like if Laird Veach at any point thought, well, maybe this isn't a good idea, he's given it his approval. Like, right? I mean, if it's Larry and it's outlandish like that, it's coming out of nowhere, you shoot that down, don't you? I mean,
how do you do that, though? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel what you're saying, and I have my, and that's the first time you heard that, so you're reacting to it sort of raw here.
Well, Penny and I would get together, and we're going to just, something like, to that effect. Yeah. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Like, well, I thought it was telling, work with Penny in the process, right?
Support.
You don't normally say that about assistants. Mm-hmm.
Somebody just had a meeting about this, and they said, okay, let's go with it.
Yeah.
What it sounded like to me.
Obviously, we've talked about this. Multiple meetings have been held about Larry Brown. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is absolutely in consideration for the job. It's not a maybe, could be. I mean, it is absolutely true that he is in consideration for the job. And like I said, I think as long as everybody involved wants it to happen, then I think it will happen. And I think obviously you have to get Memphis administratively on board because they were not the first go around. It's changed.
I have a different take, and we can get back to this because we need to stick on. But my whole thing is, when did media coverage of the Tigers change? Like, what do you mean, Laird Veach? You didn't realize that an assistant coaching hire, in this case, possibly Larry Brown. I mean, let's keep it in context here. You'd never been anywhere where it's like this.
Yeah,
brother, welcome to Memphis.
Yeah,
like, did you just get here and walk through the door? And that's
welcome, brother.
I understand Gary. I mean, he made the point that it's not going to happen like this at Duke or whatever. And Gary might feel that way too. It's funny to hear it from Gary because he was in that seat as Tigers basketball beat writer. You know what I'm saying? You're the most read thing. Whenever you're writing a Tiger story, it has been that way for a long time. Since when have we not been just like a Lexington or you just use them as an example, that everything you do with that program, I know if I missed an assistant coaching hire coming up when I was beat writer, I wasn't doing my job. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So when have we not been basically Lexington and the way that program at Kentucky is covered? We've been that way for a while. Let me tell you what it's called. It's called Ravenous for Tiger News. I don't care if it's the strength coach. It's been news around that program for years. Did that change with the success of the Grizzlies and nobody CC'd me?
Like, it's not a surprise.
What are we talking about here?
It's not a surprise.
What, Tiger beat writer, whether you're at the Daily
Mail, I don't understand it either.
Or you're at the Commercial Appeal, has always been a coveted spot. Why?
Yeah.
Because everyone cares.
Right.
And they're going to come to you as the guy on whatever it is.
Right.
Hell, just your opinion on what's going on, much less when you've got movement over there. And well, just keep in mind.
Right.
Maybe it's because, and I'll let you in here, but maybe it's because you've heard this sort of Penny wants Larry Brown for a while, and you're thinking, all right, well, that's just talk again, not going to happen, that kind of thing, and you swat it away. But the fact that we cover every inch of that program and have here for years, has not changed unless you guys need to school me, and I've turned into the old man that's out of touch. Maybe I have. I've been off the beat for a while.
Well, I mean, we do the show together every single day, and this is the way we've always done the show, you know.
That struck me the most was like this sort of sarcasm toward can't believe you guys do, and it's not just from Veach. We're hearing it from
our
own media members.
It is
sarcasm. Complete sarcasm and thick. What are we talking about here?
It's not said affectionately.
We've based an entire show for the most part for 4 to 5 years around coverage of that program. Right.
Where an assistant coach hire is so important. It's really nice that people care enough here that's
yeah, I know.
That is a wise topic.
What he says, it's really nice. He doesn't actually mean it's really nice.
It's a stab.
Right? Like, look, I'm not going to apologize for reporting. I'm not going to do that.
Heck,
you know what I'm saying? Like, apparently there are some people out there that want me to do that. I'm not going to do that.
Why would you?
This is a program that is an institution. We don't have 18 teams in the city of Memphis. You know, the pillars are Memphis Tiger basketball and Memphis Grizzlies basketball. And, of course, Memphis football when they're rolling, and they've been rolling, right? So Memphis football deserves some credit and a mention as well. You know, but
I got this show because I was Tigers beat writer, right? I got the opportunity from 92.9 because of what I'd done previously and covering the – you know what that is? That's a springboard.
Yeah.
And that's what that job – anybody that's covered that program, that's what that job has been for the most part. It's not that. It's not us, right? It's more what you're covering and even more so how much people in this town care. So I think that's probably all that needs to be said.
Nobody necessarily wants to hear us do this, but, like, you know, look – look at the stream when you talk about Memphis Tiger basketball. Look at the stream when you talk about Memphis Tiger basketball recruiting. We talk about in the weed developments like this.
Yeah, the stream is who's listening.
And then look at the stream when you talk about literally almost anything else.
It all that needs to be said is it explodes anytime you talk Tigers basketball. And this town still does in 2021, unless somebody didn't tell me.
So
I woke up like Rip Van Winkle.
Yeah, I will say like it is a little. It is a little
over assistance hires no more. What the hell?
Confusing
are you about?
To hear all of a sudden now. Like, should we feel guilty for covering Tiger basketball when we have news to share? If you guys don't want us to do that anymore, I suppose we will focus our efforts on Nikola Jokic's MVP campaign. You know,
I think it's sad for Duke that they don't love it as much as we love us.
You're talking about Carolina's there and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Like, I get Gary's point on that, but Lexington's no different. That's why I keep going back to the Kentucky example.
Yeah.
And that's Memphis is that.
That's right.
Essentially, in the way that program's been covered, but more so how much the people care.
Well, and to the point about Larry Brown, even if you're fatigued about Larry Brown, here's the thing. His name has only come up twice, and both times it's been very real.
Yeah.
The first time, Penny was not allowed to hire Larry Brown.
Bowen said consultant.
That was not invented or made up out of thin air. That was very real, and so is this. This is not something that I am just making up if anybody has some reporting that they would like to come out and contradict mine, I am here for it. You can't do it. You won't be able to do it.
Yeah.
Larry Brown is in consideration for the job. I think he's the favorite to get the job. And as long as everybody wants to happen, then it's going to happen. I can't predict the future. You know, there are many things that could happen that could sort of break down talks, whatever. But everybody that I talk to feels really good about it happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the timing is sort of up in the air. You know, this could take a little longer than people would like.
I heard Jeff say something genius, and he did go to Harvard. You wait until after whatever comes down from the IARP, and then you announce it. Genius!
Yeah, I mean, the only problem is, like, do you really know when that's going to happen? I mean,
if it was only that simple.
Right. So the timing could be up in the air, but in terms of the interest, totally legitimate, totally real.
Y'all know for a long time Penny Hardaway won Larry Brown.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like this is a huge secret, or so I thought. So anyway, that was Laird Veach, and there could be some frustration that it got out, right? I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I understand that because it didn't come from that side of it for in terms of me. So I understand why they might feel a little frustrated that this leaked out, whatever. They have a process that they like to go about.
And I love Laird. I think he's made a lot of great decisions so far. I love his women's hire over on the basketball side, and I would, you know, sit down at any point and tell him, Laird, good job so far.
Yeah,
sure.
But let's be what he's got to know if he didn't know already. That's the way this program's been covered for decades.
Yes.
And that's not changing anytime soon unless somebody tells us different. Somebody,
well, because people.
And you're really not going to listen because it's the people that decide.
Well, and also, too, again, like we've gone here. You know, I could actually even understand if it was, you know what I'm saying, pick a dude, like a Boston College assistant. Mm-hmm. You know, pick a guy, pick a, you know, pick a random name out of a hat. And he's in consideration for getting an assistant job at the University of Memphis. But we are talking about the only coach in the history
That's
of
the
basketball.
Other part. We've set that context to the side.
You know, like Larry Brown is not, you know, some Johnny come lately. He is the only coach in the history of basketball to have won an NBA title and a college basketball championship. He is, by that definition, one of the greatest ever. How many times has Memphis basketball been in a position to hire that dude as an assistant?
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
He's, to your point, he's done it at every level, and he's been in just about every situation. And so the reason this excites me, I know it excites you, John, is that you think about, okay, well, Penny can call up Larry anytime and pick his brain.
Right.
Right. They go back to the Knicks and all that stuff. But what you can't do, really, unless he's on the scene and doing some coach, is that sort of situational knowledge that Larry will be able to pour into Penny. That's the point here. He's been through it all. And whether it's late game situations or whatever, whether it's a mid-year swoon, maybe you've lost a couple in a row, Larry can talk about, this is what I did here. Here's what I did during this game. Right. Here's what we did with this many seconds left. Why would you not want that for Penny Hardaway, especially when he's wanted it the entire time? So it's the knowledge that he brings to it, and more importantly, the situational knowledge, things that you can't see coming
right
necessarily right now, that you could pick his brain about right now as a consultant or whatever, but you don't necessarily have when he's on campus and
yes.
coaching in the gym. That's the part to me is how much better this will potentially make Penny Hardaway.
Right.
I think that's the bottom line.
Well,
of the
and
story.
Again, it's like, you know.
That's why it's news.
We talked about Josh's staff all the time. You know, when
my God, what he needed and what he got, and oh my God, we broke it down every day.
Damon Sotomayor came back, you know, twice,
yeah.
right? I mean, we talked about
the
that.
Columns about him needing an old school head coach or somebody, right? What are we talking about? We're talking about what he needed, what he got.
That's the way
we cover this program.
And again, like, I think the upshot for Memphis basketball.
The focus should be on how good this could be for Penny.
Compare.
And the program.
The addition of Larry Brown to last year's staff, right? I mean, it's just. Because if you want to say he's replacing Jermaine Johnson, if you want to say he's replacing Tony Matlock, we love Tony, and Tony was Penny's right-hand man. Larry could sort of step into that and be that as well. Because, again, Penny, it's a unique scenario where this is a guy that Penny played for. He was in the trenches with literally as a player. He trusts on a totally different level than almost anybody else he could hire. And I think that would translate. So, and I think Larry would feel comfortable enough with Penny and at 80 not give enough of a damn to say, look, he'd say, you know, Penny, you're doing it this way. I think this is the wrong way to do it. I think we need to do this,
right.
and this. You know, these are all minor things, small tweaks that could, you know, add up to be a lot of big things.
Right. Larry's, you know, the issues of the past, recruiting, academic, all that stuff. Well, the understanding is it's going to be in a coaching role. So if your thing is, well, I fear what he's going to be, because everywhere he's been, the place has gotten in trouble in terms of on the college level. That's not, at least from our understanding, what he's going to be involved with. And why would he be? Because if I'm Laird, okay, this is where I come in. Well, wait a minute. Now, he can't be involved with academics or anything else. You got the stuff at SMU, recruiting, all that stuff. And frankly, the sweetest part of this is you don't need him in that role. You don't want Larry on the road, 79, 80 years old at this point, and having that responsibility. You don't want that, number one. But you can safely do it, too, just having him as that coach and away from those things. Look, Penny Hardaway knows the kind of player he wants.
Yep.
And frankly, let's be real, too. Larry doesn't have to go out on the road to help in recruiting because you're telling kids, too, I've got the only coach that won a national title and an NBA title. He's on my staff. By the time you get here, you're going to be coached by not just me, who's going to get you ready for the NBA, but one of the best we've ever seen.
Yep.
A Hall of Famer. And so that's going to work. For you in recruiting, you'll get that benefit without him actually being on the road, you know, looking at transcripts, all that kind of stuff, tutoring whatever a guy needs.
Yep.
You keep him away from that. There's a right way to do this, and that's why it makes it the right move.
I could not agree more. I literally have nothing else to add on top of that. Now, we will talk about Larry again. I will promise you that. I guarantee it. We will talk about Larry.
Well, we ought to make a song about Larry. You know, we like to do songs around here.
What was the one you said?
Leroy Brown. Bad, bad Leroy Brown. He turned into Larry Brown.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
LB, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, 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 hey. Should play this every day I'm open.
They're not doing this at Duke. They're not
what
doing
this. What is wrong with these Memphis people? What's wrong with
How
this Memphis
How
dare
you
media?
Get into your program?
An assistant coach. That's beneath us.
Like, it's
the
like
hell we start covering assistant coaching hires. Screw if it's Larry Brown.
Big bad Larry Brown. might be coming to town.
This is fun.
Later in the show, there was an interesting piece up at ESPN.com about Memphis basketball recruiting and the AAC recruiting and just sort of how Memphis figures into that. How do they characterize Memphis in the AAC? Some national perspective on Memphis anonymously. What some coaches are saying about Memphis.
Yeah, some insight there.
We will get into that a little bit later in the show when we come back. Dexon Debry is the director of Promised Land. It's a documentary about Ja Morant and his rise in the NBA. We'll get into that and more on the other side. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
NBA playoff rolled on last night. The 76ers did what they had to do and took game two, 118-102. Joel Embiid, you said, I don't think he can be better. He was 1 point better.
He was.
1 point better.
It's hard to believe he's doing this on a torn meniscus.
Yeah, it is amazing. And it hasn't really even looked like it's affected
it has
him,
not.
Which is the most impressive thing about it at that size. 40-13 for Joel Embiid. And
yeesh.
Clearly they are going to need every ounce of that in this series and the rest of the way. But the 76ers, look, they had to win that game last night. You cannot be in a 0-2 hole going to Atlanta, and they did what they had to do. They got that win, 118-102. And then how about them Jazz, man? How about them Jazz? They get the game one victory over the Clippers, even without Mike Conley. So quite an impressive win for them in game one of that series. As promised, he is Dexon Debry. He's the director of the Ja Morant documentary Promised Land. That's available on Crackle. Absolutely must-watch stuff. He joins us now. Dexon, man, what's going on? Appreciate the time.
Hey, man, it's really good to be here. Love your program.
Absolutely, man. We appreciate the time. So, look, hell of a timing with this, right? Like, and I imagine in your field, it's as much about picking the right time and getting lucky as much as anything else. So, sort of take us through the process of getting connected with Ja Morant and that family and why you sort of chose and sought them out.
Yeah, absolutely. I had this kind of burning question in my mind of like, you know, what would it be like to really experience what a young player goes through when they're actually going through it when they first enter the league. And, you know, it was just a random thought, didn't have anything to do with Ja. It was just, you know, I've been in the sports space a long time. I've worked with, you know, the GOAT, MJ himself, and a bunch of people in between, and seen stories kind of reflecting back on those moments, but through the filter of, you know, becoming famous and being a champion and lots of money and everything else that comes with it, it's always, you know, some version of revisionist history by human nature. But we haven't really seen a lot of like firsthand experience of someone that's, you know, 19 years old that gets thrust into their dream and having it actually come true in real time before our eyes. So that was a notion that I was really passionate about. And then serendipitously, I would say, Ja's agent watched a film that I did called Unbanned, and we had met a few years earlier through a friend. I'd given him some advice on his sports agency, how to market it and how to do some like sizzles for players and such. And we had a really solid connection, and he watched the film, called me and said, "Hey, I just signed this kid, Ja Morant, who I'd also been watching and following and really kind of really invested in his underdog story." And he said, "Is there any world in which you would do something with him?" And all of a sudden it was like that notion that was burning inside the you know, what I knew of Ja and all those things just came together. And was like, it took me, I just reacted like, yes, let me get on a plane and go meet him and let's do it.
When you put the camera on him, You talked about, I mean, you worked with MJ, and we're not, you know, we're not putting Ja in GOAT status yet, but we're awfully excited about him here in Memphis. Does the it factor jump off like it does when he's on the basketball court for us as fans? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it totally does. And the other thing to it is that, like, his humility, you know, I mean, I use the word humble and humility around him a lot, yep. But, like, it's that combination of, like, he's got a star in his eye and a sparkle in his smile.
Yep.
But at the same time, like that, like swagger and confidence and all those things that, you know, someone like MJ or LeBron or, you know, any other legendary player has, he's got that, but he's also got that side where he's like, you know, he's very approachable and he's very humble and he's just got a ton of humility and cares about the team as much as he does himself.
So in terms of where the documentary takes us, where does it start? And does it goes to the entire season, but I guess in terms of what we saw in terms of change, right? Like what was the Ja Morant by the end of the documentary as opposed to the Ja Morant when you started filming?
Yeah, you know, I mean, he really comes of age, you know, and that was kind of the idea going in, but like you really see him grow up, you know, that's it's a seminal year for him. For anybody kind of at that age, you know, he starts and he's 19 years old, you know, the first day that I shot him, you know, and he's 20 on the other side of it or actually pushing on 21, just given the length of time. But he really, you know, he finds his social voice, you know, a bit amid Black Lives Matter, yep. You know, coming about during that time. You know, I was with him as he was sort of developing it and figuring out where he stood and what he wanted to say. He was always clear on what he believed in. But how much does he want to say and what position does he want to take? You know, that's a big question mark for anybody that's in the public eye. You see him find that. You see him deal with, you know, being home during the pandemic and the same sort of issues all of us were dealing with. You know, he starts off dribbling in his driveway and you know, like every other kid in America, and then ends up, you know, eventually being able to build a court for himself like an NBA guy. But, like, he really comes of age, you know, he matures and he comes of age and he finds more of himself and he really sheds that underdog spirit or past and comes into, okay, now it's time for me to shine.
We are, of course, talking to Dex Endeavor. He's the director of the new Ja Morant documentary, Promised Land. It's up. It's available on Crackle. One of the things we like to say, you know, about Memphis is that it's a big city, but it's a small town. And there's a real pride that you have when you're born and raised, or even if you come here later in life, right? But when you're from Memphis, there's a real pride in saying, you know, I'm from Memphis, Tennessee. And I think that's why Ja has sort of, you know, assimilated into the city and the community so well, because, and I think this is sort of well documented by you, like he carries that from where he's from, right? From Dalzell, South Carolina. In doing this sort of this piece on Ja, how clear was it to you how much where he's from means to him?
Radically clear, radically clear. I mean, it's, you know, it has everything to do with his identity and his roots, his value system, you know, his family support system around him. And as you mentioned, you know, it's interesting because and it's mentioned in the series by his mom, his dad, and even him, of how much Memphis really reminded them of home. You know, they came into town, they were welcomed with open arms, you know, more than just him as a basketball star and such a hopeful for the city, but it was really, you know, embracing him and his family and welcoming him in, because that's just the culture of the city. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, numerous times brought that up, the whole family, him, about how welcome they were there and how much it did remind them of home and how quickly it became home and a center of pride for them. And that was really powerful and really special.
You mentioned that support system, and we've had the pleasure of talking with T, you know, a couple times here on the show. Can't get enough of him. He sort of got the it factor.
No doubt.
Sort of got the it factor too. His father. Do you see little pieces of Ja? I mean, you watch Ja, and it immediately becomes evident he's the product of that support system. Did you see little pieces of him in the people around him, in T, in his mom?
1,000%. I mean, he really, you know, I mean, he speaks very specifically about, you know, they really made him who he is. And, you know, when he said that in the very first night I interviewed him, which you know, going back to your, but to your question, it starts the night before his first game down in Miami, on the road in Miami, and then goes through, you know, through the end of the season and rookie of the year winning and a couple of days thereafter, and we close it out. But he really does show up in his parents, and he really is a byproduct of his parents. And in such a way where, you know, look, I have a son and he plays basketball, and I want him to do all the things I was never capable of doing on the basketball court, which a lot of fathers could, you know, deeply relate to. But T just had this thing where he, you know, he pushed him hard enough to turn him into the guy that he is, but not so hard to, you know, push him over the edge or burn him out. And then his mother really kind of played the role of, you know, when it was pushed, maybe right up to the edge, you know, she'd gently grab his hand or give him a hug or just remind him that he was also enveloped with an equal amount of love.
Yeah.
And that's really hard to do.
Did it feel like, and I, you know, it's so early, so you hate to crown him too early, but you were around him for this thing so much. Did it feel like you were around a basketball genius? Heard him described as that in the documentary.
He will be the future of
the
game.
He will be, yes.
No question. No question.
I'm getting texts from media members here in town. They want to know where the last three episodes are, Dexton.
I'm glad they want to know. That's the anticipation factor worked. They drop on June 17th.
Okay, so June 17th. Well, I mean, look, Ja had a great rookie year. Should have been the unanimous rookie of the year. He had an even better second year because he got to the playoffs and he elevated his game in such a way that you do not see from second-year players. One of the greatest, in terms of production, playoff debuts we have ever seen. They're going to be a follow-up? I mean, is this going to be an annual sort of follow-up documentary series with Giant? It feels like his career may demand that.
Yeah, well, it's twofold. The series is going to continue, and we're going to focus on another athlete next season. But my work with Ja and his family is not done. I can tell you that.
Well, I got to ask you, Dexton, just as a former newspaper guy, much different storyteller than you. What's more key to making a great documentary? Is it having compelling characters, or is it the story itself? I figure with your talent, you could do a documentary on a garbage can and it would be well done. For you, is it more about the characters and finding the right ones, or is it the story itself in terms of first priority?
Yes.
All of that, huh?
Yes to both. It is the perfect marriage of both and a balance between the two.
Well, it's certainly a fascinating look into who Ja Morant is, what makes him tick. It's available up at Crackle. Again, the documentary's Promised Land. Last three episodes dropped June 17th. Do not miss that. Dexon, man, great
appreciate
stuff.
Appreciate your time, brother.
We appreciate the time here in Memphis.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
He is Dexton Debry, again, the director of Promised Land. And I don't know about you, but I cannot get enough Ja Morant content. There's no such thing.
My whole thing is watching T, listening to T.
Yep.
It's funny how he's got just as much of an it factor as Ja does. Now, it's not the basketball it factor, but it's just, and he touched on it, Dexton did, you know, how hard he pushed, right, to make that, right? You crush something enough, and all of a sudden you got a diamond out of it. But you can mess it up. You crush. We know, just as fathers, all that kind of stuff. You crush too hard. You go too hard. You run the risk of pushing them over. So just that formula, the way T's made up, I find just as interesting and compelling as, you know, watching Ja play basketball, watching Ja off the court. Like we said, it's that support system that's made him, and I find it just as interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, thanks to Dexton for joining us on the show here. Talk about his documentary Promised Land about Ja Morant. There was an interesting piece up at ESPN about college basketball, about the AAC, and about Memphis. What are they saying about Memphis? What are they saying about the University of Memphis and recruiting, and which AAC schools have the most to offer recruits and transfers? ESPN talked to anonymous coaches around the country about the AAC programs, including Memphis. Who's got the most advantages? What's holding them back? We'll get into that with Memphis when we come back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Jeff Borzello has a piece up. And, you know, we're always suckers for these kinds of stories, man. When you get the anonymous coaches on the record,
and it's a rankings list, you combine the two of them.
Yeah, I mean it's just like it's catnip, man. It's absolutely good stuff. But it's called the sales pitch series that they're doing at ESPN.
Or did the ACC, right?
Yeah, they rank the schools in the ACC based on the quality of their enticements for recruits.
Oh,
yes,
like the way that's put.
Yes, and so they're doing the same for the AAC. And they break the stuff down into tiers, right? Mm-hmm. So there's tier one, there's tier two, and tier three. And then there's East Carolina. And so it's so.
Basically, most to offer, right?
Yeah.
Is that what we're saying?
Yeah. They break it all down by tiers. And look, this may come as a surprise to Laird Veach, but the University of Memphis basketball program is alone in tier one.
What? By itself,
I'm kidding.
No.
I like Laird. Okay, the only thing I reject is this whole. I can't believe that people will talk about assistant coaching hires. Anyway, we'll move on. I'm not going to go back to that. But Memphis is alone in tier one, and I'll just read from a little bit of what Jeff Borzello writes. While Memphis hasn't had the most recent success in the AAC, the Tigers are widely considered the most established program in the league, and clearly the best recruiting program in the league. They landed the number one class in 2019, led by James Wiseman, as well as five-star prospects Precious Achiuwa and DJ Jeffries. We'll get to Penny shortly. But even removing him from the equation, Memphis still has Larry Brown. I mean, Memphis still has a terrific pitch.
Oh, you're funny.
The Tigers play their home games at FedEx Forum. It's a basketball-rich city, and Memphis kids want to play at Memphis. And this is what one AAC coach said anonymously.
Oh, listen closely to this one. We're going to try to guess who it is after John reads it.
It's on a different shelf than everyone else in our league. It's the access to local talent. One of the things about our league, 90% of us are in a metro area. But that doesn't mean the metro area supports your school. But at Memphis, it does, and it's known. If Memphis is on a Memphis kid, it's a wrap. You better have a crazy hook to think you can go into Memphis and beat Memphis for a Memphis kid. They've got the NBA arena. It's a different coach. So we'll get to that one later. Okay. But that's the first quote. If Memphis is on a Memphis kid, it's a wrap. You better have a crazy hook to think you can go into Memphis and beat Memphis for a Memphis kid.
You know who that is?
Who?
It's the great Kelvin Sampson.
Is my guess.
I'm going to tell you why I think that. Is because this is the part of it. It's one of the things about our league, 90% of us are in a metropolitan area, but that doesn't mean the metropolitan area supports your school. That is essentially Kelvin Sampson's lot down at Houston. Is that there's so much other stuff in Houston. And look, he's picked it up. They just made a Final Four. So there's a lot more excitement there than there's been in a long time since Phi Slamma Jamma. But that's the key there is had been prior to his arrival and really first few years, you're on the back page of the Houston sports section when you're Houston in the middle of a metropolitan area. To me, it's and he hits the nail on the head for Memphis. If Memphis is on a Memphis kid, it's a wrap. Like, there aren't many that come in here that can get one out. And especially, let's be real, if you're an AAC school. It's another thing for Tennessee, right? Kenny Chandler, all that kind of thing. We're talking about AAC schools, talking about coming into Memphis. Man, that sounds to me, I'm guessing, man, this is the anonymous, but this is what you do when you write these. You leave it up to people guessing, well, who is that? Mm-hmm. That sounds like Kelvin Sampson because he's in that situation where the metropolitan area around him doesn't really support. You know what I'm saying? The Houston kids don't grow up wanting to go be a Houston Cougar.
Right.
That's the bottom line.
Correct.
So, I mean, how many? It ain't Wichita State, right? I mean, come on. Is that a real metropolitan area?
No, that's like, you know what I'm saying? Rural area.
There's only so many options you have here. That feels like Kelvin Sampson. I think you hit the nail on the head, too, about, you know, just Memphis and the resources here.
Another coach. They've got the NBA arena, the history, the fan base, a really good recruiting pool there. They do have a leg up on the rest. The NBA arena is a difference maker, and Memphis has players everywhere. Memphis has a different feel to it.
What I'm surprised by, and I shouldn't be, but we're in Memphis, so we've become numb to it. It's always, you know, we've spent a ton of time on Penny's recruiting pitch. Come play for me. I'm not just going to get you the NBA. I'm going to have you prepared. But we overlook, because we've been here, we've been in the place so much, right? We probably don't talk about it enough around here, how much these coaches talked about the advantage of having that NBA arena. Right.
Yeah.
That's the thing about it. We've gotten to a point where we take FedEx Forum for granted, especially as it applies to the Tigers and how much of a benefit that is, an advantage that is over other schools. When you can go in there, you tell people you're going to play in front of 18,000, but not just 18,000 in the city of Memphis. Like, you're in the same arena that John Morant's playing in.
Yep.
You're in the same lock. You got your own locker room. Grizzlies got theirs. You got yours. Like, that is a huge advantage. And every one of these coaches talked about that right off top.
Well, because
we don't talk about it a lot anymore just because we've known it. That's
well,
the
average college basketball arena, if it's not named, you know, Cameron Indoor or, you know, wherever, what's Carolina's called? Do you know?
Dean Smith Center.
If it's not a venue that has like real tradition, like, you know, Assembly Hall or, you know, Rupp or something like that, like they're just whatever. They're just arenas, you know. Like they like the circus comes there. You know what I'm saying? Like was it Al Chimia? Is that the circus in town?
Yeah.
I didn't know
that. Alchemia Circus.
Yeah.
It's like that's the knockoff circus that comes through every Texas town.
How do you pronounce that? I need to go back there.
I always thought it was Chimia.
I don't know.
I know which one you're talking about.
They're here now.
But that's where you know the circus comes. You know, in the off season. You know, Memphis. There, you know, yes, you have other things, but it's where the Grizzlies play, you know, and it's where the Tigers play.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is absolutely a huge advantage to that. And look, you're going to be seen wherever you go if you're a good player, but it is a hell of a thing to be able to say, like, yeah, you know, Zach Kleiman is probably going to be in the building.
Can I read one more good thing from a coach before we get to a potential drawback that one coach mentioned, which we found highly interesting? Here's the other one. Penny is just so connected. One coach said in a recruiting battle, he's so persuasive. He understands it at a high level. He's connected with agents. He's connected with relationships that matter. He's connected with AAU coaches because he was an AAU coach. He's got relationships with so many coaches across the country, and I think he's really good at recruiting. There's something to be said when he was a top five high school player himself. Like, other coaches can't sell that. He kind of understands that life, certainly better than I do. He's pushing a really good product, pro arena, great town, great city that loves basketball. They care about basketball. So, I mean, nailed it on all fronts, but especially to that point, when you're recruiting high-level players and you've been one, it's just another advantage that these other coaches don't have. They didn't play it at that high of level. With it, you know, your previous coach beforehand, well, Josh Pastor, one of the previous coaches, was a walk-on at Arizona. And that's a sense for a lot of these guys in terms of coaches, the guys recruiting you. When you've been one of the best, right? Now, top two, what, number two draft pick, whatever, all that stuff,
yep.
A Hall of Fame career would have been, it's different. I suppose it resonates differently. I know it does with these high-level recruits he's after.
Yeah, so, I mean, really glowing reviews for the most part.
That's why they're in Tier 1 by themselves.
I mean, glowing reviews, and all that is true. Like, none of this, I would think, would come as a shock to...
None of that was the most interesting part,
right,
either.
That Memphis has passion, that Memphis has an arena where, you know, the NBA team plays, that they have a, you know, a celebrity star coach, one of the, you know, all-time...
Penny has a unique
greats.
Way of being able to recruit you.
Yeah, that's not... that's not stuff that we don't already know. But of course, you have to ask about, all right, what are the drawbacks? What are the knocks when you're at Memphis? Because it's not just all amazing all the time. And this is what one coach had to say. I think one of their biggest recruiting knocks is they do rely heavily on Memphis. If you're a big-time national kid, but there's a local Memphian already at your position, you might get caught in a political game. That could be a detriment. If all things are even or pretty even, they got to play the Memphis kid.
No, I think Borzello talked to you on this one.
No, man.
Yes, he did.
No, because I like them recruiting Memphis. You know that. I like when they recruit
Memphis.
But a
Memphis kid and Alex Lomax, we'll just use the examples, might have kept Boogie off the court. Okay? What, John's holding up his roster for next season. Says A-Lo, A-Lo,
now, Brad,
A-Lo,
do you remember
A-Lo,
when I put this together? It was like March.
You were like Nostradamus or whatever putting this together.
And what does the point guard rotation say?
A-Lo, A-Lo, A-Lo.
Still the same. It says Lomax, A-Lo, Alex, Binghamton, and I can't read the last one there.
And I love him. I think it comes off as negative when we bring up A-Lo's name. It's not. It's not a
no,
knock.
It's the point of, is he holding, does the Memphis kid in this instance, as this coach put it,
right,
if things are even, you're always going to go to the Memphis kid. Does he keep other talented kids from being out there?
Well, that's why, got this I mean, it, look.
I'm curious at your take on this. Yes. Because literally Boogie Ellis is out of here in part
exactly
because of Alex Lomax and the minutes he gets at point.
Yes, that's exactly why Boogie's out of here, because Boogie Ellis felt like he proved himself last year and he knew that, you know, no matter what, I'm always going to have to split time
probably
with Alex
took A-Lo
Lomax
getting hurt for him to be out but there as much as he was.
I would push
season
back a little bit, though, on that narrative, because A-Lo has the privilege of basically growing up with Penny. No other Memphis kid that comes here will be able to say that. Penny has not had anybody else ever since middle school. You know, this kid is like a son to Penny. And so I would say,
you're absolutely right.
I would say, if you're Penny Hardaway's son, you know what I'm saying? Like, yes, that kid's going to play in front of you if all things are equal. Penny Hardaway's kid. And Penny doesn't try to hide that. He said that with Rasheed Wallace and Bonzi, you know, that he had to apologize to Jaden for not playing him more. Mm-hmm. A-Lo is like Penny's son. Let's just call it what it is. But I would push back on this whole idea that, you know, if you're Penny has actually shown that he does not discriminate. Penny has shown that he don't give a damn if you're from Alaska, if you're from Memphis, you know, if you're from Cameroon. If you can play, you're going to get on the floor. I never once, DJ Jefferson was coming off the bench for them last year. I never once felt like Penny was playing a guy ahead of another guy who deserved more minutes because he was from Memphis. In fact, it's never happened. A-Lo,
give me the other examples exactly.
A-Lo is the only one.
There isn't one.
And A-Lo is a unique situation because, again, Penny's like a father figure to A-Lo. He was there for A-Lo, you know, when his dad, you know, was incarcerated. It's just the truth, and that's been talked about. So it's a very unique set of circumstances with Alex Lomax and Penny Hardaway, and that is not going to persist after Alex Lomax leaves this program. I don't think. Look, I've told you this. I've said this. They had a conversation about a month or two ago, right? Maybe a little longer. But Penny and internally, they said, we have got to get back to our roots in Memphis. We have got to start nailing down the kids, the best kids here, because they kind of had lost sight of that a little bit, right? They have made that commitment. They've recommitted, reaffirmed their commitment to the city of Memphis. And you've seen that they offered Jay Nash, 2024 kid, mm-hmm, the other day. Like, they're going to double the F down on Memphis talent.
The two MUS kids that are going to be sophomores.
But not once. Mm-hmm. Not, like, if it's a kid from Memphis, Tennessee, or a kid from Boston, Massachusetts, and the kid from Boston's averaging 15, and the kid from Memphis is averaging 8, the Boston kid's going to play ahead of the Memphis kid because that's the way Penny does things.
Well, and I think I've always fought against this whole you can't.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.